In keeping with Reformation Sunday, I would like to offer a prayer of illumination from the 16th century by reformer Martin Bucer. So, going through, Brenda. No, you're fine. I don't want to rush the choir, but let us pray. Almighty and ever gracious God, since all our salvation depends upon your holy word, therefore grant that our hearts may be set free from worldly things, so that we may with all diligence and faith hear your word, rightly understand your gracious will, and in all sincerity live according to the same, to your praise and glory, through our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Our scripture this morning comes again from the Gospel of Luke, one of the four stories of the life and ministry of Jesus Christ, recording. This is coming very near the end of Jesus' ministry. He will soon be arrested and condemned and crucified. But before then, at least one more person needs to be brought into the kingdom. And so here we meet Zacchaeus in chapter 19. Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through it. A man there named Zacchaeus was a chief tax collector and was rich. He was trying to see who Jesus was, but on account of the crowd, he could not, because he was short in stature. So Zacchaeus ran ahead, climbed a sycamore tree to see Jesus, because he was going to pass that way. When Jesus came to the place, he looked up and said to him, "Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, for I must stay at your house today." So Zacchaeus hurried down and was happy to welcome Jesus. All who saw it began to grumble and said, "He has gone to be the guest of one who is a sinner." Zacchaeus stood there and said to the Lord, "Look, half of my possessions, Lord, I will give to the poor. And if I have defrauded anyone of anything, I will pay back four times as much." Then Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this house, because he too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek out and to save the lost." I love this story. I love the wee little man throwing his dignity to the wind, shimmying up a tree in order to see Jesus. Unlike the parables of the last couple of weeks, this passage is pretty straightforward. Not complicated concepts, no hidden messages, no heavy theological debate, no naughty exegetical problems. What you see is what you get when it comes to Zacchaeus, which is why there was a time when all first-year students at Columbia Seminary were required to do their first sermon on this passage. Another part of their training, of course, at the seminary was to do internships in various ministry settings. And the seminary is located in the greater Atlanta area. So there's lots of tall steeple and nice suburban and also urban ministry settings for these students to practice in. But then also within a couple hours drive of the seminary is a very rural area where there are a lot of small struggling churches that could no longer afford a pastor. And so they had seminary students come in every Sunday. A different seminary student would come in every Sunday to preach and to fill their pulpit. And that it worked out well for everybody. It enabled the churches to keep their doors open, and it gave the students some much needed income and giving them some experience. And it seemed the perfect arrangement until the seminary received a letter from the session of one of those congregations. It began by thanking them for the ministry of the students. The men and women were fine people and fine preachers. The congregation appreciated and depended on them. They were in no way wishing to complain or appear ungrateful. However, the letter concluded, they were wondering if there was anyone the seminary could send who could preach on something other than Zacchaeus. course, there were texts that they could preach on other than Zacchaeus, countless other passages that they could embrace as the subject of their sermon if they bothered to take the time to write something that they didn't already have in their back pocket. But in another case, another sense, I want to suggest that maybe the students had it right. For it could be argued that every sermon should be a Zacchaeus sermon, because every sermon should be a proclamation of the good news that Jesus came into the world to save sinners like Zacchaeus, like you, and like me. What is more central to our faith than that? So when we tell the story of Zacchaeus, in a sense, we are telling our own story, for we too find new life through our relationship with Jesus. It's a truth that we understood instinctively as children. Some of us grew up singing the song, "Zacchaeus was a wee little man." Does anybody remember that? "Zacchaeus was a wee little man, a wee little man was he." Brenda remembers it. "He climbed up in a sycamore tree, the Lord he wanted to see, the Lord he wanted to see. And as the Savior came that way, he looked up in that tree and he said, 'Zacchaeus, you come down here, for I'm going to your house today, for I'm going to your house today.'" Okay. Oh, yeah. So, when we were kids, we sang that song knowing it was about Zacchaeus. But we also understood that we were singing about ourselves, because we liked to climb trees. Climbing trees was fun. And we knew, more importantly, what it was like to be wee little people. We too had felt the frustration of not being able to see a parade because of the crowd. We knew what it was like to be recognized, to recognize people by their shoes rather than their faces. We understood how church could become an hour of disembodied voices if our parents decided to sit in the last pew of the sanctuary. Zacchaeus' story was our story. But what I want to suggest is that it still is. Today is Reformation Sunday, the day we remember the heritage of our faith. And one of the key convictions of the Reformation was that we are saved not because of the good things we do, not because we are perfect, but because God loves us. God's love that comes to us without condition, and we call that grace. We are saved by grace alone, which was good news for Zacchaeus, for he was a wee man in more ways than stature. He was a tax collector, and that was just wrong on so many levels. First of all, no one in first century Galilee felt good about paying taxes. And I want, of course, acknowledge that no one in 21st century Orange County feels particularly good about paying taxes. But it was different back then in that time and that place. Their land and their lives were not their own. They were occupied by Rome. And so they were paying taxes. They were giving money to the people that were subjugating and oppressing them. Plus, the idea of paying taxes to Caesar was a theological affront. For the Jews, God is the one and only true king. Granted, they insisted on a human king for a while. It didn't work out terribly well if you go back to read that section of the Old Testament. But even when they had a human king, everyone understood that king was God's representative, that ultimately it was God who was king. So paying tribute to an earthly non-Jewish monarch was a bitter pill to swallow. But as much as they hated the tax, they hated the tax collectors even more. Tax collectors were not a salaried position. These are not IRS employees that are public, you know, servants on the government payroll. The Romans were collecting all kinds of taxes: poll taxes, property taxes, sale taxes, road and bridge tax, census tax, and the way they and there was no prescribed tax code to follow. There were no long or short forms to fill out. Instead, Rome would enlist a local citizen, and their task would be to collect X amount of taxes from the people. The way they got paid is by collecting X plus some amount. right? So whatever they could get, they could squeeze out of people beyond what Rome wanted, they got to pocket. That became theirs. It was a system that was set up to be abused. It depended on occupied people to collaborate with Rome to oppress their own people. And Zacchaeus clearly was among one of the best of the bad, because we know from the introduction that he was in the position of chief tax collector. He was so good he'd been promoted. And he was rich. He was good at squeezing money out of people. He could have been a physical giant, and he would have still been considered a wee little man, choosing business over religious observance, profit over people, personal power over justice. And yet, out of that crowd, Jesus chose to go home with Zacchaeus. There were many who would have been more deserving, many who are probably more likable, more kind, more worthy of Jesus' attention. But Jesus called out to Zacchaeus, perhaps the least worthy of the bunch. And by answering his call and welcoming Jesus into his home, Zacchaeus discovered that the welcome went both ways. Not only did he welcome Jesus, more amazingly, Jesus welcomed him home as a beloved child of God, a son of Abraham, which was very good news to all of us who have our own ways of being wee little people. Sometimes enormous challenges in our life can make us feel very small. Times when we are faced with a life crisis that is completely out of our control and we feel helpless. When we pace the hospital corridors, waiting for the surgeon to come out with news that will either renew or shatter our world. When we lose our job and go for months without even an interview, take whatever work we can find to tide us over. When our teenager runs wild, constantly angry, defiant, increasingly in trouble at school and in the community. And then there are those times when we feel we, but we can only blame it on ourselves. It's not circumstances, it's our character that's at issue. Times when we find that we are short of strength or patience or courage, resources or hope. Times when we lack faith, neglect love, fail to act in ways that we know we should. We are all, at some time or in some way, wee little men and women. People who find that the only choice we have left is to abandon our dignity, climb out on a limb, and see if there is anything or anyone out there who can make a difference. People who will become willing to make a fool of themselves in order to catch a glimpse of that which will help us finally grow into the life for which we yearn. And the risk pays off. Certainly it did for Zacchaeus. For it was while he was out on that limb, hoping to catch a glimpse of Jesus, that Jesus got a glimpse of him. Frederick Buechner tells it this way. The sawed-off shyster is perched in a sycamore tree. Jesus opens his mouth to speak. All Jericho hugs itself in anticipation of hearing Jesus give the man holy hell. Woe upon you, repent, wise up. At least that's what they expect. What Jesus says is, come down on the double, I'm staying at your house. The mob points out that the man is a public disaster. Jesus' silence is deafening. It's not reported how Zacchaeus got out of the sycamore, but the chances are good that he fell out of pure astonishment. He said, I'm giving everything back in spades. Maybe he even meant it. Jesus said, three cheers for the Irish, or perhaps we'd want to say three cheers for the Scots today. The unflagging lunacy of God, the unending seeminess of man, Buechner says, the meeting between them that is always a matter of life or death, and usually both. The story of Zacchaeus is the gospel in a sycamore tree. It is the best and oldest joke in the world. That's what we celebrate on this Reformation Day. The lunacy of God overcoming our seeminess. The promise that no one is so little or so lost that they are beyond the reach of God's love. Not Zacchaeus, not you, not me. We are all the Zacchaeuses and the grumblers in the crowd, children of God. We all need God's grace. Salvation has come to all of us, and to each of us at some time and in some way, Jesus says, hurry and come down. Come down from wherever you are perched, whoever you are, whatever you have done, for today I come to your house. And once Jesus has come into the home of our lives, we will never be the same. That much we know. That much we celebrate. That much we tell and tell again. God's grace is all we need. It welcomes us all home into the circle of God's care. Where we are forgiven. We are chosen. We are beloved. That is the story of the wee little man, Zacchaeus. And it is our story as well. Thanks be to God. Amen.